welcome. I'm on the phone with Joe Panaccio, who's Senior Director at Qualcomm, and we're going to have a little conversation about some topics around leading teams and particularly technical communications teams. So thanks for joining me, Joe.
You're welcome.
I was wondering if we could start, if you could just tell me a little bit about your organization at Qualcomm and how it's organized.
So we're a global team of roughly 100 plus technical writers and managers. We are mostly organized by technology areas within the, I'll call it the mobile phone space. And we have a center of gravity in Shanghai. We have a center of gravity in both Bangalore and Hyderabad in India, as well as Chennai. There, I wouldn't call it a center of gravity. There's probably 4 employees there. We have a half a dozen folks in Cambridge in the UK, and 1 or 2 people outside of San Diego, and maybe 3 dozen folks here in San Diego. So it's a relatively large, centralized technical communications team.
Great. So the topic for the SDC roundtable for June is on leadership and teams. And each one of those could be their own topic, I think, but we're trying to think about them in tandem and think about them both in broad terms as well. So leadership doesn't just mean managerial positions, for example, but that individual contributors can practice leadership as well, and that we're also thinking about teams in with a really broad definition. So certainly it would apply to writing teams or scrum teams or task forces on certain projects. But it could also, we're also thinking more generally about the ways in which we collaborate. So the ways in which we work in situations other than working alone in an individual sense. So I'm curious, you mentioned that your organization is largely structured by technological area. Are your writers embedded on development teams, or what are the primary ways in which they collaborate with their stakeholders and partners?
So we are not an agile methodology shop, so it's mostly waterfall delivery. In being organized by technology areas, we're following the engineer/developer footprint. Engineering teams are managed by technology area as well. I'll give you an example, multimedia camera on your smartphone. That's a technology area. So we have an initiative in place where we're growing subject matter expertise across our writing space. So we have a group of writers with camera expertise that build relationships with the design and customer engineering folks that are also responsible in those technology areas. So they are, they have access, ready access to the source data as required to document the new features for each new release of the product.
Great. And do you have most of your writers, since you mentioned you're globally distributed, are most of your writers primarily working with partners that they're co-located with, or are they having to work across time zones and locations on a regular basis?
So that's a very interesting question. It starts out where they're co-located, but then as part of a centralized team, you have your fires, right? You have your changes in organizations. Many organizations go through changes where they're moving a technology from the US over to India or over to China or even over to the UK. So those writers still have that subject matter expertise and are still satisfying the requirements for that documentation. But the general goal over time is to support our engineering teams locally, wherever they may live. So folks have outsourcing strategies, and my strategy is very simple. Follow the engineering footprint, follow the development footprint if you're a software company.
Great, and so since one of the aspects of the conversation this month is about leadership. I'm curious about also not just the relationship and the kind of in terms of locale with partners, but also with management. So for example, at ServiceNow, where I work, we've been expanding a lot in India, and we finally got to have a large enough center of gravity that we have a manager there. And one of the challenges that I think as organizations grow new teams in other locations is to figure out the best management structure. Can you tell me a little bit about how you provide management support for your remote teams?
So there's many answers to that question. Management support starts with the whole notion of mentoring, right? Especially in this brand new environment. That includes, most importantly, feet on the ground. Folks that have a plan to manage a team in India remotely without ever stepping foot, they're going to struggle. They're not going to be successful. So, and I would also say that works both ways. If you are hiring folks there and you do have management potential or management candidates, it wouldn't hurt to bring those folks here. Certainly, budgetary constraints get in the way of those types of things from time to time, but it's absolutely critical, one, that we support them in person. Short of that, there is a lot of mentoring that really does need to take place. But over time, folks with the natural ability to lead, let me say manage an organization, they will bubble up and the choice will become more and more obvious, not just by you managing remotely, but by the team there. You're going to find there's always going to be a one go-to person, or with your conversations with individual contributors, there'll always be somebody that they're referring to. Well, me and such did this, and she pushed this forward, and we are now, I think the choice becomes easier over time. Finally, what I would say is organizations really don't matter. People do, right? So I wouldn't be so hung up on an organization. That's almost a fallout of how we're going to do work. I would say the focus should be on the people that you have within the organization.
Yeah, I really like that. I'd like to second that, because I think there's often a lot of emotion, a lot of angst about organizational structures. And at the end of the day, there's, multiple possible organizational structures that can make sense for different reasons. And that the core work, particularly in terms of management and leadership, still have to happen regardless of the management structure. So I like that emphasis on the people rather than the structure. I'm wondering if you could comment on what you think some of the biggest challenges are for managing either remote teams in general, right? We have a lot of teams that are virtual, even that aren't global or international, right? We've got more people working from home in any location, as well as the added challenges from time differences and cultural differences. So I'm wondering, based on your experience, what some of the biggest challenges are about managing globally distributed teams.
So that's a tough one. There are so many challenges of managing just in general, I have an acute sense of, almost to a fault, of trying to assign work equitably across the globe. And the bar should be the same, right? So a senior technical writer in San Diego should be of the same talent and skill as a senior technical writer in China or the UK or India. And the assignment of work needs to actually mimic that. And more often than not, you have these new, highly innovative, highly complex tasks that folks here stateside, and I'm talking about from an engineering perspective, are trying to hold on to. and you want to give your entire team an opportunity to play in that sandbox. One of the things is the assignment of work. We need to proactively ensure that we're assigning challenging work equally across the globe. And then the other piece of that is, how do we instill a sense of fairness when it comes to calibrating employees against each other globally? That's also a significant challenge. How do I know senior writer in Hyderabad is operating at the same level as senior writer in Cambridge? How do I know that's the case, and how do I rate them appropriately? How do I make sure the managers I have reporting into me are rating their employees in the same manner globally, regardless of geography? So that's a big challenge, and we take a lot of pain, and I ask a lot of direct questions of not just my direct reports, but everybody in the department, to make sure there's an answer for the ratings. You know, where they're calibrated against each other, we look at accomplishments, we look at alignment to goals. That's the other thing, making sure folks globally have the same set of goals they're marching to, and then comparing the results. You know, from a performance perspective. I guess the short answer is performance managing globally in an equitable way is one of the biggest challenges.
Yeah, I think that's right. I totally agree. And I think you mentioned in the course of your answer, you talked about distributing the work, but you also mentioned the word opportunity. And I think that's really important, that it's not just about the work assignments and the calibration about performance, which I agree with. It's also about making sure that we're providing opportunities at all locations.
Absolutely.
And that means opportunity for training. That means opportunity, access to opportunities for new positions or different assignments. And it means opportunity for some of the I guess I'll just call it extracurricular things, right? So I'm not sure if this is true in your organization. In most organizations I've worked in, you know, we've got our core work, which is usually, since I've come up through software, is usually supporting software releases, right? The core writing work to support the new features and products and enhancements. But there's always a number of task forces or other things going on. So, you know, being on the committee or the task force is working on the style guide or the governance for the style guide or governance for content patterns, or that's working on research for changing the content experience, or, you know, whatever those extra things are. Or maybe they're opportunities with associate resource group or some other things. And that's an area that I think, you know, we need to be thinking about those opportunities as well, because those are some of the places where leadership expresses itself and people have that opportunity to grow.
So one of the areas that I'm most proud of actually revolves around what I call the focus group. You would call it a task force. It was a geographically dispersed global collection of staff and senior staff technical writers. These are folks that need to be challenged on a regular basis, right? They can pretty much do their day job in their sleep. So how do we challenge them? So we have many infrastructure improvements, many internal projects underway where we can fully leverage their expertise. In addition to their technical writing duties and responsibilities, most recently they've created an information model for us, right? They're now working on a DRM, a dynamic release management component of Ixiosoft, which I believe you're familiar with, solution. It's part of our taxonomy issue. They are absolutely driving towards a solution, a global solution in that space as well. One of the go forward areas is, how do we publish HTML given our constraints within Qualcomm? They're looking into those things. what is the appropriate tools to do so? What does that process look like? What is that approval process? So this is how we leverage folks. And the mandate I put on them is it needs to have representation geographically, equitable representation. So these are the types of things we can do to actually get these remote locations connected and to get them thinking as one, thinking as a team. So you're absolutely right. Those areas are critical. And it goes beyond just producing technical information.
So one of the other challenges that I think is near the top of the list is just the practical realities of time zones, right? And trying to create a sense of unity in a single culture and deal with things like all hands meetings, right? Like my organization's up to about 85 right now, and we have all hands meetings about every other month, and you know, there's no way that you can schedule a meeting that's equally amenable to all time zones when you're working across the globe. But we do try to vary that a little bit and try to get a time that most people can attend. And then we use various forms of electronic communication, right, to try to keep everybody on the same page. But I'm wondering what challenges you see there or what, innovative strategies you've used to really kind of create that sense of oneness and make people feel like they are all getting the same information and in that practical sense.
So like you, we have quarterly all-hand meetings, and there's a couple of different solutions for that problem. First of all, we're fortunate enough in that technical information is a professional trade. It's a professional domain. So folks on either side of the pond here are fully willing to work off hours to attend certain meetings. So with regard to India, if I hold an all hands meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning, it's probably 7:30 PM their time. Not too bad. China, it's a little worse. It probably is approaching 10, 11 o'clock at night. And forgive me if I got the hours wrong, but it's probably pretty close. So what can be done is record the meetings, right? So they get a push of information, and then at times I would schedule a separate call and just for question and answers so that they have a live Q&A session. However, the main call they can watch via a recording. That was something I did at my last company. I haven't done this at Qualcomm. Most folks are willing globally to attend the one quarterly meeting. I think the bigger problem arises when you start talking about the day in and day out cross-functional meetings. We need to keep our finger on that pulse. If there are seven people in India attending a call and two people here in San Diego, perhaps we should have a late evening call in San Diego schedule, right? It's a matter of numbers. It's a matter of fairness. How many people do we want to place outside the normal work hours? That said, many people on both sides are more than happy to attend evening calls. And as a manager, if somebody's got a bunch of evening calls, I would tell them, don't bother coming into the office that day. Just, you know, and take your calls from home at night and be done with it. Some companies will say, save all your calls for one day and work one night shift, you know, and get them all out of the way. So we need to be flexible. And that requirement, I mean, the world got really small really quick. And if we can't do something as simple as figure out how to schedule a meeting with our remote employees, then we're going to have much larger problems.
So I wanted to change our focus a little bit away from the global question and talk a little bit more about leadership without authority, right? So I think we hear that term in books and other places, right, about what it means to be a leader if you don't necessarily have a formal leadership title or managerial responsibility, and how we can encourage more leadership traits and development of leadership activities at the individual contributor level. So I'm wondering if you have some thoughts about how you think about leadership throughout the organization, not just in terms of roles and titles.
So the one area that comes to mind immediately when you talk about leadership is innovation, right? And across the organization, the war cry has always been, at least coming from me, is without innovation, we will fail. And from innovation, those folks with natural leadership tendencies will bubble up. They'll surface and they'll drive and they'll push. It's empowering the entire team and see what folks do with that empowerment. The natural leadership skills and tendencies will be there. I have met many natural leaders in my career that are perfectly happy being individual contributors and not looking to manage a team. But when you start talking to them about driving a technology or enhancing the efficiency within our domain, they get excited. They're looking to drive it. When you have a team of 30 people and 25 of them are going to the 26th person for advice, that's a leader. May not be a manager, but that's a leader. That's somebody that squarely put themselves there. And we need to nurture that, and we need to facilitate that. We need to grow our job descriptions and roles to where that individual contributor path and that manager path are somewhat equal. There's a fork in the road, and some people choose that individual contributor route. That doesn't make them a non-leader. That makes them somebody that wants to focus in their domain area, but they still have significant leadership skills. So many companies are often offering leadership training, and I think that's good, but identifying those people with leadership tendencies becomes relatively easy. All we have to do as managers is look. They just bubble up. And I'm not saying we shouldn't nurture that, and I'm not saying we shouldn't empower that, but I'm saying to identify those folks becomes relatively easy.
Yeah, I think, so one of the hypotheses I have about leadership is, and also about collaboration, right? Because I think, I think the world of work is changing a lot. We're being asked to collaborate even more. I think that's another place, it's closely related to innovation as well, but another place where leadership emerges is in the ways that we collaborate. And one of my hypotheses is that in general, we, and that's an incredibly large royal we that encompasses, corporate America or workplaces in general, that sometimes we don't adequately provide training and or incentive for leadership and especially for collaboration. So if I think about, for example, the way that performance reviews are structured, they often tend to focus on individual achievement or what was your, what were your deliverables and what were the things you accomplished. And I think sometimes we talk about the need to collaborate or the need to work horizontally, the need to break silos, but that some of our infrastructure around the ways we assign work or the ways we assess work and performance are still skewing toward individual achievements. And so I'm wondering if there are ways that we should be building more goals around leadership behaviors and or around collaboration and finding different ways to assess that. So that's been one of my hypotheses so far this month as I've been doing the curation. I'm curious if you have any response or thoughts on that.
So yeah, you're spot on. When it comes to performance goals, I'll name a couple. One is to build brand value within technical communications. And how do you do that? You do that by highlighting your innovative wins, right? You do that by letting your internal and external stakeholders know about all of these accomplishments. So absolutely, building brand value gets us closer. Another one of the goals that I use is to increase operational efficiency, right? So how are you going to do that? You're going to do that via innovation, right? Folks are going to become more innovative. They're not going to accept a process as, you know, at its value. They're going to look to improve upon that process, and they're going to get rewarded based on that. So I think we can do a lot with goals and strategy. And then once you assign those goals globally, we use a template set of goals. So everyone in the department is marching to the same set of goals, right? That are aligned to the corporate strategy. So.
Great. Well, Joe, I really appreciate you doing this podcast. The summer was a difficult time to get a lot of people together synchronously. So I appreciate you having this conversation. I'm wondering if you have any, you know, final points you'd like to offer around the topics of teams and leadership.
So I guess one of the things I'm passionate about is the equal empowerment of all. If you empower everybody, I think they'll answer the call, and you'll really see the talent that's readily available. If you're only partially empowering or empowering specific groups and not everyone, you're selling yourself short. So what I would say is if you have the gift of a global team, a fully diversified team, you will never reap the benefit unless you challenge that globally diversified team. And that's my goal.
Right. I couldn't agree more, Joe. So again, I really thank you for doing this exercise, and I know that the participants of the roundtable will be grateful to hear your thoughts on this as well. So thanks again, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Tony.
Thanks, Joe.